Aleph Nissan, Rosh Chodesh Nissan, Tuesday the 28th of March, Rabbi Shimon Conway, L'shem Matzah's Mitzvah. Mitzvah's Matzah.
Good morning everybody, good Chodesh. A couple of years ago, I had the opportunity to visit a prominent matzah factory in Yerushalayim. I was shown around there by the mashgiach of the factory, somebody called Rabbi Klapholz. So one of the things Rabbi Klapholz told me, this was a couple of years back, and it was the Shemitah year. It was Shvi'is. So he mentioned that in the previous year, they had cut double the amount of wheat for preparing matzahs. Double the amount they normally cut. Why did they do that? Because obviously in Eretz Yisrael during Shemitah, there's not going to be much of a wheat harvest. And they're not going to be able to cut wheat for baking matzahs in the Shemitah year. So in the previous year they had cut double the amount of wheat that they normally cut. And they had put it aside, ready for baking matzahs during the Shemitah year. So the question was brought up, we asked him, why, Rabbi Klapholz, do you have to do this? Perhaps, did you consider the idea that you could go during Shemitah year and cut wheat in Chutz La'aretz and import it to Eretz Yisrael? As indeed, some regular flour in Eretz Yisrael is also imported from Chutz La'aretz. So, have you considered that option? Is there a reason why you don't do that? We asked him. And he gave us a couple of reasons why they don't do that. One reason is related to financial reasons. He said, well, listen, how are you going to transport wheat from Chutz La'aretz to Eretz Yisrael? Obviously, one option to bring it by aeroplane is going to be not practical and very expensive. And to bring it by sea, by boat, then you also have to begin being very careful about questions of chametz, of the wheat coming in contact with water. Not so straightforward, not so simple. That's one reason why they didn't choose that path. Another reason which he brought up, which I'd like to look at a little more closely today, another reason he brought up was the following point. He says, when you're going to cut wheat in Chutz La'aretz, he says to me, so who is going to drive the combine harvester to cut the wheat? Surely, he says to me, the non-Jewish farmer is going to drive the combine harvester. Because the non-Jewish farmer is not going to be happy to allow whoever it is, some Jewish mashgiach who's just arrived from Yerushalayim, to drive his combine harvester, which is a very expensive piece of equipment. And the guy is going to cut the wheat for the matzahs. And this is something which they wanted to avoid. So I'd like to look at this a little bit more in detail today and understand whether indeed there is an issue or there's not an issue. I'd just like to add, before I go further in parentheses, that it isn't really so poshut as Rabbi Klapholz understood, that there is no way a non-Jewish farmer is going to allow you to drive his combine harvester. I have heard that there are some who will allow you to drive their combine harvester. But this is what he understood, this is what they found out, and this is one of the reasons why they did not wish to cut wheat in Chutz La'aretz, and therefore they chose to cut wheat double the amount before Shavuos in Eretz Yisrael, where they have a Jewish from farmer who drives the combine harvester and cuts the wheat for the sake of Matzah's Mitzvah. So I'd like to look at this a little bit more closely and explain what the reason why they wish to avoid it, and to show that actually there really are two sides of the coin over here, and perhaps it's not such a great issue. What's this all about? So, when we prepare matzahs for Pesach, there are two distinct requirements, two different areas, which have to be looked at, which have to be thought about. One more obvious and basic thing is obviously, goes without saying, that our matzahs cannot be chametz. They have to be baked within the required amount of time. They cannot be brought close to excessive heat, etc. All the halakhas which have to be followed, which, after that, we can then proclaim our matzahs in no way chometz, but perfectly kosher lepesach. That's one most basic aspect of preparing matzah. There is, however, a second aspect, a second requirement, which is needed specifically for the matzah which we wish to consume on Leil HaSeder, on Seder night, when we want to be yotzei the mitzvah of eating matzah, unlike all the other days of Pesach where eating matzah is not a mitzvah, it's just a way of avoiding chometz. On the first night of Pesach there is a mitzvah to eat matzah. Yeah. And on that night there's another particular requirement which we have to bear in mind. This requirement is spelled out in a Mishnah in Meseches Psochim, Daf Lamed Hei. The Mishnah tells us that chalos toido or rekikei nozim, types of breads that have been prepared to go along with various korbonis, a korban toido, a korban of a nozir, ein yotzei bohen. One cannot be yotzei with them the choiva of achilas matzah. So if one takes the breads which were prepared for this korban and one wishes to eat them on the Leil Seder to be yotzei, the chiyuv of achilas matzah, one does not fulfill the requirement. Now why is this? This is not because in any way these breads are chometz. They're definitely matzah. We're talking about breads that are halachically required to be matzah. These are things which are involved in korbanis, where the korban, where the halachas of the korban also require matzah, like we require matzah on Pesach. The korban also requires breads which are matzah and not chometz. So there's no concern that these breads under discussion here in this Mishnah are chometz. They're not chometz. There's no question that they are matzah. So why can one not use them to be yotzei the chiyuv of achilas matzah? And the Gemara explains a few dafim later on daf lamed ches that we learn from a pasuk. Ushmartem es ha-matzos. From the pasuk Ushmartem es ha-matzos, the Gemara learns that we need matzah ha-mishtameres l'shem matzah. Matzah which has been guarded or produced for the sake of the mitzvah of matzah. We learn this out from this pasuk Ushmartem es ha-matzos. You guard the matzahs. What does that mean? You guard them. It means you produce them specifically for the sake of matzah. One has to make them lishma. In a sort of general sense, it's similar to that idea which we find with many cheftei mitzvah, many things which we produce for the purpose of a mitzvah, like tefillin, sefer Torah. All these things are only kosher when they were produced originally with the intent of using them for the mitzvah, l'shem, the kedusha of sefer Torah, l'shem, the kedusha of tefillin. Similarly, matzah, the Gemara learns out from this pasuk, is only good when it is prepared l'shem matzas mitzvah. It is prepared for the sake of kiyuma mitzvah. And for that reason, the lechem which accompanies the korbanos is no good for kiyuma mitzvah. Because, although it was prepared for a mitzvah, it was not prepared for the mitzvah of matzah. It was prepared for the korban. Because it was prepared for the korban, it's no good for... Perhaps it could be both, but the Mishnah is referring to somebody who didn't have intention for both. In Ochanam, and the Gemara discusses that later on, if you had a Tanai, if you made some sort of condition originally that perhaps I'll use it for this and perhaps I'll use it for that, then it would be good. We're discussing somebody who prepared it originally specifically for the korban with no intent of matzah, and then later down the line he changes his mind. That's what the Mishnah is discussing. So there is this requirement which we learn out from this pasuk. Now let's look at this a little closely. We say it has to be prepared for the sake of the mitzvah of matzah. Now from what stage does one have to begin preparing this for matzah? Now, the production of matzah goes a long way back. The very first stage, obviously, I could even say, I guess, planting wheat, cutting the wheat, grinding the wheat, mixing the flour with water. There's a lot of stages in making matzah. So when we say it needs to be prepared for the mitzvah, From what stage is one required to begin preparing it for the mitzvah? Where does it start? So this is a big discussion with a number of opinions in the Rishonim. And it begins with a Gemara, another daf later on, where the Gemara tells us the following thing. The Gemara tells us that Rava, the great Amora Rava, Oma lohu lahanu demahapchi kipi. Rava told those people who cut the wheat and bound it into sheaves for matzah, kima hafchisu, when you are binding the sheaves, hafichu l'shum mitzvah. Prepare them, bind them, cut them, and make them ready for the sake of the mitzvah. And the Gemara says from that, Alma kosovar shimur meikara mitchilosoi vad soifu bo'ino. We see from the instructions of Rava that Rava held what is required to prepare the wheat for matzahs right from the very beginning, i.e., the Meforjim explained, from the time of cutting it, that's what Rava's referring to, from the time of cutting the wheat, one needs to cut it for the sake of the mitzvah, for the sake of matzah, which one's going to use for the mitzvah. That's what Rava told his workers, cut it, prepare it, make the sheaves, bind it up, all for the sake of matzah's mitzvah. Gemara simply continues that Mar Breda Ravina Minkatele Ime Ba'arbi. His mother was involved in the preparation of the matzahs, and she would cut it herself and store it in baskets for the sake of matzah's mitzvah. So we see these great Amoraim, Rava, Ravina, they were particular to prepare their matzahs from the time of cutting the wheat for the sake of the mitzvah. That's what the Gemara records. This is what the Amoraim did. Now there ensues a discussion in the Rishonim. Whether indeed these lines of the Gemara are actual halacha, or whether these lines of the Gemara are perhaps some private chumrah which Rava and Ravina did for themselves, are not fully binding on all of us. There's reasons why the Rishonim say this, we're not going to go into now, but there is such a discussion whether this line of the Gemara is 100% binding halacha, or is it perhaps simply a chumrah of these Amoraim? And if it would be simply a chumrah of these Amoraim, we would only be required, according to basic halacha, to prepare our matzahs l'shem matzahs mitzvah, l'shem the mitzvah, from a later stage, which is then undefined in the Gemara, when would it be? So to make a little summary on this machloikas, because it's important to us, the Tur over here summarizes three opinions in the Rishonim. Three main opinions. There's the opinion of the Rif. The Rif holds that this Gemara is indeed the halacha. This is what needs to be done. One has to prepare the wheat from the time of cutting the wheat, l'shem the mitzvah. That is the opinion of the Rif. The Gemara is halacha. The opinion of another one of the very early Rishonim, the last of the Goinim perhaps, the She'iltus. The She'iltus hold that this Gemara is not halacha. This Gemara is not the halacha. So from what stage is one yes required to prepare your wheat, your matzahs, l'shem the mitzvah? Says the She'iltus, from the time of grinding the wheat, from the time of techina, from the time of grinding it into flour. And the reason given for that is because at that point, already there exists a particular possibility of the wheat coming close to water, whether it's because they used water mills or other reasons. At that stage, there exists a certain chashash of the wheat coming close to water, and therefore at that stage, it's appropriate and proper to prepare your matzahs for dafka for the shame mitzvah. That's the opinion of the She'iltus. The final opinion, which is called the opinion of the Goinim, is that it is sufficient to prepare your matzahs, l'shem mitzvah, from the time of lisha, from the time of mixing the dough, from the time when one actually adds water to the flour, that is good enough. If at that stage you have in mind l'shem the mitzvah, that's good enough. Even though you have regular wheat that was cut with no intentions of the mitzvah, flour that was ground with no intentions of the mitzvah, As long as, at the end of the day, when you mix it with water, you intend for the mitzvah, say the Geoinim, that is good enough. So again, let's just summarize. There are three opinions. Opinion number one, the opinion of the Rif, that the halacha is, as stated in the Gemara, that one needs to cut the wheat. Mishas Kitzira, the cutting of the wheat, has got to be l'shei mitzvah. The second opinion, the opinion of the She'iltas, that from the time of grinding the wheat, it needs to be l'shei mitzvah. And the final opinion, the opinion of the Go'oinim, that from the time of Lisha, from the time of mixing the dough, that is the time when one needs to intend l'shei mitzvah, and not earlier than that. Those are the three opinions. So as was mentioned, these three opinions are mentioned in the Torah, and they're also mentioned in the Shulchan Aruch. These are three opinions brought down also in Halacha. This is in Siman Tov Nun Gimel. A few simonim later on, in Siman Tov Samach, we meet a fascinating question. In Siman Tov Samach, the Torah and the Shulchan Aruch begin to go a little more in detail into how one fulfills this requirement of preparing your matzahs lishma. And it's mentioned that since this is something that one has to do lishma, the regular halachos of what type of kavona and what type of intent is needed are applicable here, like we find in other places. For example, meaning to say, people who are not considered halachically bar das, like a cheresh shoiter the cotton, the classic example of people whose kavana is not good enough in halacha, their kavana, the shame mitzvah, is not going to be good enough. So let's say, were we to follow the opinion of the Rif, who would hold that you need katsira, the shame mitzvah, it would chayra follow through that the katsira of a cheret, shoit of a cotton, of matzah mitzvah wouldn't be good enough. Or if we were to follow the opinion of the She'iltas, we would expect to see that, according to the She'iltas, the grinding of the wheat has to already be done by somebody who's a bar das. Or if we were to follow the final shitta, the shitta of the Goinim, so then we would say, from the stage of Lisha, one needs the Lisha of somebody who's a bar das and has intent for the Shei Mitzvah, and not of a cherish shoita v'kotah. So indeed, in the Torah, in this simon, he records the halacha that a cheresh shoita of a cotton is not good enough. He also writes that a goy is not good enough. And even stresses that even if the goy is being watched by a Jew, it's also not good enough, because we need the actions of a Jew who is mechaven l'shem mitzvah. However, there is one fascinating point over here. The earliest one to discuss this idea that since it's a requirement, the Shei Mitzvah, therefore one needs a bar das, not a cherishoit of a cotton, not a goy. The earliest one to discuss this is the She'iltas. Now, as was mentioned before, the She'iltas is one of the opinions of how early one is required to prepare the Shei Mitzvah. And the opinion of the She'iltas was that one is required to prepare the matzahs, the Shei Mitzvah, from the time of techina, from the time of grinding. That was the opinion of the She'iltas, the middle opinion. But when we will look in the words of the She'iltas, recorded in the later Siman, in Siman Tov Samach, we will find something fascinating. We will find that the She'iltas writes that if the Lisha is done by a cheresh shoita v'kotan, or by a goy, it isn't good enough. If the mixing of the dough is done by a cheresh shoita v'kotan, writes the She'iltas, this isn't good enough. And the question arises right away in our minds, well, according to the She'iltas, he shouldn't simply have spoken about the Lisha. She'iltas, you hold that the techina needs to be done for the sake of the mitzvah. So if the techina needs to be done for the sake of the mitzvah, so don't tell us that the Lisha, the mixing of a cheresh shoita v'kotan, isn't good enough. Tell us that the grinding of a cheresh shoit of a cotton isn't good enough. Why does the She'iltas only speak about Lisha? This is the question which arises as we learn through these halachas. So there are poskim who say But you know what? This is what we call lav dafka. Lav dafka, when it says lisha, it doesn't mean only the lisha, it just says it as an example. It means hu hadin, the earlier stage, since the she'iltas would hold the earlier stage, so it means that as well. It just mentions that because that's something that everybody agrees to, be it as it may. It says lisha and it also means the earlier stages as well. This is what the Bach says, and the other poets can follow it in his derech. However, the Taz says something different. It says, you know what, it's not lav dafka. It means it exactly as it says. Why? Says the Taz, as we mentioned, there's a requirement over here to make the matzahs for the sake of the mitzvah. But what exactly is meant by making the matzahs for the mitzvah? We said that we learn out from a posuk, Ushmartem es ha-matzahs. The posuk doesn't say that the asiyah of the matzahs, that the actual actions which one does, the cutting, the grinding, the mixing, all have to be done the shame mitzvah. The posuk's not discussing the actions which one does for the sake of the mitzvah. The posuk is discussing the shmira, the guarding of the matzahs from becoming chametz. So says the Taz, if all we're discussing is the guarding of the wheat, of the dough, etc., all from becoming chametz, all we're discussing is the guarding. We're not discussing the actual actions which are being done. It's not similar to, let's say, a Sefer Torah where the actual writing has got to be done, the Shem Mitzvah. All that needs to be done is that the guarding from chametz needs to be done for the sake of the mitzvah. Now, who does the guarding from chametz? Does it necessarily need to be the person who actually cuts the wheat with his own two hands? Or does it necessarily need to be the person who grinds the wheat with his own two hands? Says the Taz, no. It is true that there are opinions that this all needs to be done for the sake of the mitzvah. But what that means is that at those stages, at the stage when you are cutting wheat, at the stage when you are grinding wheat, at that stage, keep an eye on your wheat, that it shouldn't become chametz, and do that guarding, do that shmira, do that watching the shein, the mitzvah. So over there, even were the wheat to be cut by somebody who's not a bar das, or was the wheat to be ground by somebody who's not a bar das, says the Taz, in truth, it could be good enough, so long as that person who's cutting it is watched by a Jewish person who is a bar das, then you fulfilled your requirement. Because the whole requirement is simply that the guarding of the wheat should be done, and the guarding of the flour should be done for the sake of the mitzvah, not the actual actions. The actual actions don't have to be done l'shem mitzvah. All that's required is that the guarding should be l'shem mitzvah. So for this reason, the She'iltos does not talk about the earlier stages. The earlier stages, cutting the wheat, grinding the wheat, it would all be good enough, the lishma of anybody else who watches. We don't require the lishma of the person doing the actual action. So therefore the She'iltos, even though he holds that we do need lishma from an earlier stage, but even though we need lishma from an earlier stage, the entire lishma is simply a lishma in the guarding of the matzah, not a lishma in the actual actions of the matzah. So it's perfectly good enough if somebody who is not a bar das or a goy were to cut the wheat or were to grind the wheat, and a Jew would watch him. However, when it comes to the lisha, then things change. Now, why do things change when it comes to the lisha? So the Chasam Sofer explains that the lisha is different. In truth, even the lisha, the requirement also is simply to make sure that it doesn't become chametz. But once we arrive at the stage of lisha, where there are so many chashoshes and so much difficulty in making sure, in requiring that the matzah should remain perfectly kosher without holding it too long in your hands, that it can become hot from your hands, without not doing the full amount of isik, of working on all parts of the dough. Over there it is impossible to fulfill the requirement of shmirah through somebody else. Over there the shomer has to be the one who's doing the actual action. Because the Gemara says, in a certain place, the Gemara uses a certain sentence, a certain klal, Ein odom meshamer ma shebiyad chaveri. A person cannot fully guard that which is given over into other people's hands. So says the Chasam Sofer, when we arrive at the stage of Lisha, there, another person watching over your shoulder isn't going to be good enough. Over there, indeed, we need the Shmira of the actual person who is doing the Lisha. Because over there, we cannot have a Shomer watching over his shoulder, because he's not going to be able to guard the dough to a level which is halachically sufficient. And if that is why, specifically over there, the She'ilta says that somebody watching over is also not good enough. Only the person doing the Lisha himself has to be a Bar Das. So that is why the She'ilta, even though his opinion was that the requirement of Lishma begins from much earlier on, he nevertheless only spoke about the halacha that a Bar Das is required only by Lisha. Because by Lisha, we have this added requirement, added difficulty, that the shomer has to be the one who is doing the actual action. Somebody watching over his shoulder isn't good enough. It's not so in the earlier stages, where despite the fact that we need lishma, but the actions could be done by anybody, so long as we have a bar das watching over his shoulder. So according to this opinion of the Taz and the Chasam Sofer, the Katsira, it will come out la'halacha that the ketzira of wheat can be done by somebody who is a non-Jew, provided he is watched by a Jewish person who has intent lishma. Just to summarize the sort of bottom line halacha, the Mishnah Brura mentions that this question indeed, whether in ketzira one requires the actual action of a Jew or not, is a subject to a big machlokes haposkim. As we mentioned, the opinion of the Taz and the Chasam Sofer and the Mishnah Brura mentions a number of other big names who all hold, like the Tzad of the Mekilim, that the ketzira of a goy is good enough provided he is watched by a Jew. And it is indeed clear from the Divrei HaPoskim that this was the old minhag, this was the done thing, this was what was accepted to do. And many poskim hold that it is perfectly good enough. It is also mentioned in the Mishnah Brura that Misha Efshaloi, somebody who is possible to fulfill the opinion of the Machmirin, and that everything, all the actions should be done entirely by a Jew, Harizem Meshubach. That's very praiseworthy. I wish you all a kosher and Pesach.